Bright Lights Pathfinders. We are all a bright light searching for the Pathfinder's way. Hello, I'm Kathy Cook, and I'm your host on Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock Pacific Time. That's 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So listen up and tune in to Station 1 on BBSRadio.com. It's a positive power production. Unique perfection evolves. Exquisite feelings awaken, producing passion style.
Hello, I'm on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders. And it was interesting. This afternoon, I was doing my meditations. Just asking, well, I was praying first, and I said, talking to the Holy Father, and I said, after my prayers, he said, what are you talking, and I was not listening really hard, and he said, listen, and I said, okay, and he said, listen, and I said, okay, and goes, I said, well, show me. I said, show me what it is that you're saying. And so I opened the Bible, and I opened it to Ezekiel 1:12, and it said, this is so God. I'm not kidding. This is so God. He goes, on Ezekiel 12:1, it says, then the word of the Lord came to saying to me, and that's what Ezekiel 12:1 says. And so I said, wow. So then I opened the 13:1, and it said, then the word of the Lord came to me saying. So then I opened to Ezekiel 12:8, and it said, then the morning came, and the word of the Lord came to me saying. I wrote these down, because I never write down things, but I was like, oh my gosh. Because usually I just hear him, and then I reflect back, and then I talk to you guys about it. And then I opened it, Revelations came to me first before that part, but he said, before the Ezekiel part, he said 3:6, Revelations 3:6, and I go, ooh, I don't like Revelations because I don't want to know what's going on because it's like the last part of the Bible. And he goes, he who has an ear, let him hear with the Spirit says to the church. What the Spirit says to the church. And then he showed me Revelation 3:13. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Then he took me to Ezekiel 12:1 again. And then he brought me back to Revelation 2:29. And then showed me my eyes. And then he showed me Revelation 2:28, and I will again be like the morning star. Then Revelation 2:29, and let them who has an ear hear with what the church, what the Spirit has to say to the church. I was like, wow. Then I got to thinking about last night, and yes, late yesterday afternoon with me and my daughter, and I got a little angry about some things, and it was because I couldn't find something, and I wasn't angry at my daughter, it's because I was angry because I was frustrated, and she was kind of shocked, because I rarely get angry, and then when I get angry, I dwell on something from the past or whatever, because I have not completed that past situation. But I use my daughter as like a sounding board because she always helps me solve the issues. So today, after I read what I read in Ezekiel and Revelations, it was like it was brought forth to me to talk tonight about anger. And what I learned about anger was that it's okay to get angry because if I don't, then it will turn into rage. I'm slow to anger. I'm very slow to anger. But the thing is, is I know that we're all, like, whatever we project out there is going to come back into the world. And so I think about things like this. It's like, how can I put this simply? Like, we're these bodies, and the globe is like the body of the earth that we're building ourselves with this astral light. Astral is the term that's like, it's what we put out there, and it feeds back into ourselves. And so with the astral light, it's the finer counterpart of the that ranges from, you know, the dense part or the ethereal spiritual part, the lower levels, per se, of the heaviest, the dregs of human thoughts and emotions. And it's like the uppermost levels of merging come from the astral light, which is, if we don't, it's like, it's so hard, deep to explain, but the great picture of the galaxy, it comes from the astral light. It's projected out there. So people that are angry, I just want to say, let's say for me, for example, it's an instructive response to a threat, or it's posed as a threat. And it's preparing somebody or someone for, you know, ourselves by attacking. It's kind of like a camouflage that the adrenaline starts rushing and the energy righteousness is added, and then a little dash of ability to camouflage the uncomfortable feelings. Then it becomes, if you don't work on it, I'm telling you, it'll become a habit and easily unrecognized. And it'll become wearing into bitterness towards ourselves and towards others. Now, I got a letter tonight from a person that was, let me see if I can find it. Chantilly, I haven't spoken to her in a long time, but she said it was a very good topic to talk about anger, and that as our negative beliefs are purified through regular contact with the light of your divine nature, unhealthy emotions, such fear and anger will naturally begin to diminish, and you will be free to transcend to higher states of consciousness. You will download more of your own true self, and simultaneously will automatically attract others with similar vibrations. You will radiate love by simply being an inner consciousness, and will have a greater effect of the world on the world than most of the greater orders, ordinators. And then she wished us the best in the show. Thank you, Shantani. We love you out there. If anyone would like to give a call in, the call-in numbers are on the front of the screen for Station 1. And I was taking a rest right before the show, so please excuse me while I get myself together as well. But I took a few little notes on paper, what I was going to speak about on a couple of few things. But I just jotted them down so they're not even sentences, but the thing that I wanted to talk to you as well about is with the anger and the rage, not turning it into rage, is let me get back up to my notes. And I write to myself in an email, so I just want to say that about the ending of anger. I said that to myself, I said, is anger justified? And I said, I believe that it is justified, because if I don't face it and I don't recognize it and analyze it by writing about it, then then I'll keep continuously acting out with it. And even though anger is a healthy emotion and is fully functioning with all of us, that we overcome the indifference with the empathy. And behind most advances in my, as a human right, which lies constructively, if I apply this, it will not become such an outrage of hatred. People with strong motivations can make these changes and take the risk for themselves, you know, on the line. But inevitably, you know, with compassion and the superior motives, gotta look at that and see the effective attitude. And so, you know, sometimes we place ourselves on that stage when we act to the reactions of things in a just cause. And we've got to see not to be a martyr, not to see that we're a mockery, not to see that we're someone's scapegoat. And that can cause some anger. I know I'm the type of person that I will take and I will take and I will take until I can't take anymore. And then I will just get aggravated, because the reason I got aggravated for not being able to find something is because 33 years of my life is missing out of this house. Don't know where it went. Don't know where it went. I've got 48 boxes, that's small boxes, and those are filled with books. And I've got a few dishes and maybe three particles of clothing and a few clothings that don't fit me. And then over on the other side of my garage, I have just knickknacks that don't mean here nor there. But my husband gave me everything when I left, you know, and moved here. I don't know where it is. I've got some pieces of furniture, but that's what, you know, I couldn't find some of one of my bowls, and I was ready to make some macaroni. So I was like, okay, that draws the line. Where's my stuff? I don't know where it went, but it doesn't matter, because I'm not materialistic. I'm spiritual. And the thing is that, you know, it says in the Bible, it says, you know, pick up your baggage, just your bag, and come with me. And I guess that's what I'm to do. I'm to just come with him, God, and continue to do my work for him and just do with the most simple things that I possibly can. Another thing that's on my agenda for this evening is talking about the scapegoat. Now, I bookmarked a few things that were of value to me, and I will tell you where they are when I pull them up. It is www.counseling, and then it has a nh.com, and then it has a /family-scapegoat.html. I'll tell you a little bit about what a family scapegoat is. The family scapegoat is an individual who the family generally identifies and blames all as being responsible for the family's problems. Other family members minimize and deny their own responsibility and participation in the family problems, and dramatically overestimate incapacity and place it on the scapegoat. Many families have great surprise and sadly disappointed when the departure or removal of the scapegoat thus improve, even cures the family problems. After the scapegoat has left, most families simply just found another. Isn't that sad? The scapegoat's role, that the person is not necessarily innocent, though, in the wrongdoing. In fact, they could have a negative retrospect in the personhood, and invites and reflects the negative view from others. The scapegoat phenomena has two qualities, both present and in order to justify. Continuously, the scapegoat tries to justify towards the attitude that have been blamed upon them for the responsibility of the family issues and the behaviors of each individual. And second, the family participation of the scapegoat phenomena serves as increased cohesive bond between other family members. So in other words, the family members continuously throw things and hash out at one particular person in the family to keep that person holding all the family dysfunctions so that they can, you know, like they'll make fun of them or mock them or, you know, cause them to be, because they usually pick the weakest person or the person that doesn't lash back at them too much. And then all of a sudden they'll expect scapegoat will stand up and go, I've had enough, and, you know, it might cause that anger to come out. It's, a lot of scapegoats end up going to counseling or something to try to figure it out of why they have such things happening in their family, but usually a counselor doesn't see that, what, you know, that it's that problem. Another thing is that I came to the conclusion of some families have a borderline personality disorder in the family, that the main person in the family that has chosen the child or the person to be their scapegoat and caused the other family members to have them be the scapegoat. Now, it's not bad to have a personality disorder. It's just that that person with a personality disorder has had some trauma or traumatic incident happen to them as a child, and that they have thus chosen the person or the caretaker or the person that's closest to them become their route so that they don't feel their guilt and hurts of their past. This borderline is a means of protecting themselves of an unrecognized and unconscious pain that's the core that's wounded like an abandonment, to protect their thoughts and their feelings. And they project their thoughts and feelings onto others. This makes everything seem to the borderline personality of this person as if it's coming from or being done by him or her, though it's actually being said and done. They make it like they're doing something to the person that they're acting out on. And they make it like it's being done by them, to them, by the person that did it to them when they were younger. It can be confusing. And it can make the person that's being the non-borderline person feel a little crazy and whacked. And it can lead to a blame game, you know. It can, the game that nobody can actually ever have a chance to win. And the game can hurt all that's involved. It's very dramatic, and it causes a lot of family pain. And without realizing, in a great number of people have this problem in their families, and the constant blaming and hurting one another. It's typical with a borderline personality disorder to honestly believe that while in the throes of their disorder and their thought process, that everything that they feel is someone else's fault. They often feel that person will take out their own confusion and pain of those who are trying to care for them or be there for them and love on them and have fun with them and laugh with them and carry on with them. And they see a part of that person that has the borderline personality that no one else sees, you know, the fun-loving, caring part, and that they act and play with almost childlike, as, you know, to a degree. But that person cares for them and takes care of them as well. And they carry on and get very close, and they stay very close. But what happens is when someone tries to care or be closer, many of the borderline personality disorder people, once again, that line's crossed, and the closeness and the familiarity of the other person ceases to be who they are, and in the reality of the world of that borderline. And then borderline narcissism takes over. And then inside that person, this intense transference happens. the borderline person feels deep inside an intense large amount of pain, and it's projected out to the closest person, again, that caring person who often becomes like a parent figure to them, but the transference takes place because the parent figure, the one that's closest to them, is the parent figure that actually hurt them to begin with in their childhood. What instead is being said here is that the one that cares about them and knows them the best is the one that they disassociate themselves with as a replay on their own past issues as a child and growing up in that relationship, and reverse the roles and becomes the child to the parent again. And thus does makes that person the scapegoat to the other family members. I hope that helps some people out there, because then that causes anger, which causes rage, and it gets pretty heavy. But I don't know if I have anybody in my family like that, but that just all drew in together. But borderline demands the other to be a certain way, and they know that they can unfold, and they had no chance to be right and responsible for themselves. They pretend like they are right in their doings. They act like they don't know that there's any other way to do and to be, and it's like a push-pull effect to gain and maintain the control. They have to be in control of that person that they are acting out upon, and they keep re-experiencing full painful feelings from their past, and they're unmet needs continue to escalate when they can't control that other person. And this anger gets so deep into this other person, into the borderline person, that the person that they've acted out on gets very confused and frustrated and may pull away. And the feelings of attack that they can't do anything right begins to pull away, which is a classic repeat of the borderline's nightmare of abandonment. So the borderline personality of the person then has to work through and may not realize that they themselves are the one that's causing their own abandonment all over again. And the abandonment thus perceives in reality that they've really not been abandoned, that that person's really not their caretaker, that person's really the role in the family or whoever they are as a friend or a child that's an adult child or, you know, whatever. But they've lost themselves somewhere. They've lost who they were somewhere, maybe a death of a spouse or maybe a death of a loved one, or it could be too much burden upon them for some reason or another. But it's mostly unmet feelings from their past as a child, from one of their parents. And it's a no-win situation. It's a very demanding feeling to have to be in a borderline personality disorder, because the blame starts beginning and it tears a family up, because then the person becomes, again, the scapegoat, and all the people in the family members have to play because they don't want to become the scapegoat. But everybody in a family member, every family member has different roles in a family as well anyway. But what I'm getting at is if you look at that and start healing from there and start realizing about the anger and what we project out there into the world and realize we're not abandoned, because God will never abandon us. He made us. And he wants us to be with him all the time, which is the I am in me. So, with that given, I hope some people call in and just, you know, we can talk about anything from the feelings of your family members, or we can talk about things that are happening to you, or say a prayer, or anything of that matter. But let's just take a little moment and just take a break and just give a little thought rest and take a deep breath and just relax a moment. But I had that heavily on my mind and just wanted to share that with you guys. That's pretty heavy, first off, for the first 30 minutes of the show, isn't it? It is. Okay, well, anybody got any suggestions of what they want me to talk about with the anger? Anybody have any suggestions of, it's a touchy thing to talk about, and I don't want anybody to feel like they, I mean, because you have to really look at yourself. In order to evolve, you really have to look at yourself. To be self-actualized, you have to look at yourself. In all ways, shapes, and forms, to become a counselor, you have to look at yourself. You know, that one was just one of my favorites because I worked with a person that was a borderline personality disorder when I was in school. We had to work as and in our associate's degree, we had to work with people. And I had a family that in a family crisis center had just that effect going on, and they had a scapegoat, and they had different roles the family member played. Excuse me, I didn't light my candle, so I had to light that. What about, let me ask you a question. I'm gonna get down to some nitty-gritty, since nobody's talking about anything. Let's get to your spiritual path. How about going to spiritual progress? Instead of spiritual progress, are you going up the hill? Does it feel like a drug or a dredge? Do you feel like you're put on a straight and easy path? Do you feel like you're content with where you are in your spiritual path? Do you feel like you're just letting go and just letting God? What about the positive and negative with the, again, anger? Because first we have fear of hurt, and then we have the anger come in, and if we don't control the anger, it becomes rage, right? Well, I'm thinking about something. I feel like I have to weigh my words tonight. I don't know why. I feel like I have to be totally constant and obedient. See that they cannot see. I'm going to read some things that I've got written on a piece of paper. I have constant, obedient, see, they cannot see, they are being physical. Okay, so that means that people that are trying to evolve are just walking around in this earth. You need to be constant and obedient to be able to see things that are going around in your world, but also actively listen, because others, they cannot see, they are being totally physical. There you go. That's what my notes are saying. And to be able to learn from ourselves, we have to understand the difference from not seeing others but and reflect on our own selves. And respectively, store up the terms that are a part of us and ourselves. And by showing our actions into how they affect others, because how my actions are, just like last night getting angry, it made my daughter react towards me, but she reacts towards me in a healthy manner. And then I react back in whatever way, but I'll get on a roll. And mine were not negative vibes, and we weren't talking on the phone, but she is very, very, very powerful in the force of spiritual, you know, and she's like an angel here on earth. She just it was like a tennis match, and it was the constant, the ball was just going back and forth, lobbying back and forth. And she's good. She's been on the show before, Ashley Grimes. She was the one that was the wedding last year. But anyway, understanding our knowledge of wisdom because we have to have our knowledge to apply it to our wisdom. Because our minds are like the light, and our hearts are the love. I say wisdom with your heart and not your mind, because your mind is man-made of people, places, and things. But we have to have the light of our minds to penetrate into the heart of our love, at the center of our heart, that garden. We may then know the path which leads to the universe of vehicles that are riding around all these people. The physical of man indicates the knowledge of the knowledge which is inside of our lives, the divine source. But the meaning literally could mean selfishness. And then on the back page I have time of counterparts. We need to use discernment and know between right and wrong because it integrates together with the mind and heart. They balance. So respectfully, put together, they build the knowledge which grows into the wisdom and live to benefit mankind and dispose of selfish motives learned from source of the self, from the mindful thought. Because we have to use our minds to use the logic, which is the light, which is brought into the heart, core center, which reflects the love. So if we look at people with love, then that is where it's all about. But the mockery, to me, of someone mimicking someone, you know, repeating, like say me, repeating my words, or I'm using me as an example, things that I heard from the Lord or things that I heard in a place out here, and then it's written about almost word for word, or and then that person will say, well, I got that in meditation. Well, if I spoke it out and then they close their eyes and they hear my words and then write about it, then that's, you know, that's hurtful, because it's like God spoke those to me and that's personal, like the word the knowing. God called himself the knowing, almost like a pet name that he gave me for him. No one else started calling God the knowing until I wrote about God the knowing. I don't mind it, but, you know, at least you could put my name there or something like that and say Bright said, or, you know, it's just, it's sad sometimes. I'm not saying, oh, well, that's mine. It's just I've had enough. I've actually had enough of people taking my work and using it as if it's their own. Plus, I study 24/7, and I take a nap when I can. Like just before the show, I had studied and listened so much with me and my God that I needed to rest. Because if I do prepare for these shows, I'm going to tell you, then I would have a script I would go by, and it would just take the flavor out of that concoction. Now, I did say something to the person that's right after me. I said, your show, I said, because you guys, a lot of you write to me and tell me that the show after mine almost is word for word exactly like what I say. I mean, even the little words that God spoke to me that are so different. And she wrote back and said, well, they get two doses of two good shows because she's never listened to my show. Well, that just goes to show you how God works and just reveals things to people in different ways, but that's really odd, you know. So you guys that wrote the letters, she said she doesn't listen to my shows, even though it's almost in the same order and the same words repeated back to the active listeners. So with that said, there's things that are involved that only the person that's doing it has to answer to them and the God of their understanding. I have to answer to me. You have to answer to you. You have to have your own feelings, which, you know, goes back to people getting angry or aggravated with the person because it's a threat. That's the root of anger. It's a threat. And when a threat happens, the person's going to act out in anger. I tend to anger very slowly because nothing really threatens me. I don't make money off of my work, so I've got it all documented and I've got it copywritten and things like that, but I don't make money off of it because I don't want to. I only live on $900 a month, everybody thinks I got all this money and I've got all this stuff, but I don't. I live very poorly and very humbly, and I live within my means, and that's, you know, my house fell in, and my family thought that I was taking advantage of my mother when I wasn't, and just a lot of things happened in my life, but it doesn't matter. I'm just putting it out there that I'm sorry for everybody that thinks things of me and what you want to think of me, but you people that surely do listen and take my words and utilize them, but then they get angry or because I'm a threat, and then they, I don't know what I'm trying to say about that, but I just know that I have to take care of me and continuously strive to do the best that I can, and the negative energy that comes about me is just going to be no more because I put that shield around me. And once I expose into the light situations that are at hand, then it's exposed into the light, into the Lord. And that's what I needed to do. So with that said, let's move on to something else. Back to the spiritual process. You know, when I was being awakened and awakening, my awakenings, it was painful. It wasn't something simple and easy to do. At times, if I could hold on to the edges of the carpet, that was good enough for me because I had to really look inside myself. I had to look into the core being of who I was, what I had been, acted like, who I had been like. I had to look at all aspects of myself, and I had to challenge myself because I had to realize that you know, I had some flaws in there. And I didn't, they were in the past, but I had to look at them to learn from them so that I wouldn't keep repeating the same thing. And from that, I learned from those experiences. And just like I told y'all last week, I keep a big rock that my uncle gave me in a rocking chair for a rocking chair, and I sit in that rocking chair, like my mother said, worry gets you nowhere, like a rocking chair. And so I try to keep my vessel clean. That's why I brought up this tonight, because it was fresh on my mind about anger, because I don't like to get angry. It's too much energy. It's wasted energy. So instead of wasting that energy, I applied it to a lesson, which I shared with you guys. And with that, I don't want to be selfish. I know I don't want to be a selfish person. I give, like Carmen said, the shirt off my back, but I need to learn to receive back. My energy level gets very low, and I need to receive back because, you know, even when I'm not talking to anybody or whatever, people focus in on another person, and that drains that person of that energy when they haven't got their sacred space shielded or drawn their circle and stepped in it. The existence of my foundation has to be very solid and secure because the psychic powers of, and you know, there's psychic research, there's psychic powers, there's, you know, the awakenings, there's everybody wants to be psychic, and spiritual knowledge, and that's where this world is today. It just is. And it's a lot of basic artificial means out there. Because you can say something like, I see a man in your life that's deceased, and I see him as a rather large man. But, I mean large as in strong, or maybe he's large as in a big man. You know, that opens up to saying, yeah, he can be a strong type man in emotions, or he can be a very fat man. You know, but that, like, well, that's a vulnerable person you're speaking to, and yes, they're going to say either one because, do you see what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm just giving that as a hypothetical example. Be careful with people's emotions, those people out there that are wanting to be readers and that are readers, because it's strong out there. And remember, karma. Because what you put out there is going to come right back at you. And where you got it from, if you're not thankful for it, it backfires on you. That's what I've learned. I'm only going by what I learned. Because it increases in capacity. the more you use something without thinking, being thankful for it. It's just like I've got these little kittens outside and a cat. And the guy that does my yard, I told you last week, he said, before you know it, you're going to have 30 cats. So multiply. If I don't do something about it. You know, they're cute and everything, but you know, you got to do something about it. Where are you in your life? What's causing the turmoil? And I thought of something else today. I was thinking, if we are dimming in our light's atmosphere, the light's going slower, doesn't that mean that the anger is slowing as well? Doesn't it? Because the aura atmosphere that projects out, doesn't that show that the anger and rage of people are becoming more enlightened to put that energy field out there instead of anger out there? Because the light has slowed down to a degree in its process. And I also want to tell you something. When you're cooking in an oven, you know, I noticed this last night, when you're cooking in an oven or a stove at, say, 350, and you preheat to 350, that oven does not stay at 350 continuously. It goes up maybe to 360, and then it'll tick off and drop down to 345 to 350. And then it'll raise up again and drop back down. But that's kind of like the energy levels in our body, and that's kind of like when a person's sitting there giving a person a reading or giving a person an intuitive insight. You know, you can't be right on the level the whole entire time. And I just wanted to put that out there. And also, I want people to be very careful with not cleansing and purifying themselves from the energy prior to the next read that they get in, because they have the other person's energy on them instead of just going to the next one, going to the next one, going to the next one. How can one do that? How do they shut the door from the one that was just in to bring in another person? Well, it's not my business. I got to stay in my own business. But I do have to teach what I need to teach, what I know. That's what I know. That's what I already know. Well, I'm humbled, and I'm honored, and I just want to say thank you to all you people. I want to say thank you to BBS Radio and all you active listeners out there. I never know how many are listening. I never ask Don or Seth or Doug how many are listening. I do several comments or letters and people, but you know, it's just, there's so much I want to say, I don't even know where to say it. I do believe that sometimes we mistaken things for what was given in an aspect of an idea towards sustaining something, like acquiring powers of clairvoyance or the power of leaving the physical body and traveling a distance. You know, in our dreams, those who wish to acquire such powers, it should be their own private advantage. You know, it should stay their private personal, not try to take other people with them, because that's very dangerous. And it's also, you think the effect of the cause as well, and honestly think if the powers are pure that you're taking with you, where did you get them from? Because you've got to use that discernment. Can't just start saying and using all these props and stuff, you know, like crystals and cards. And, you know, because cards, there's only so many cards out there, and then everybody reads the same card, but in a different order, right? Can't you just channel the purest from the Creator or from the spirit guides or from the angels? Or it just would keep the chaos so low and quit getting people so quick to anger. Because if you have all those gods and all that stuff inside of you, doesn't it make a little bit of a mass confusion? And honestly, isn't this kind of some kind of warning that I'm getting to be able to speak this out? Is there some kind of warning to be able to repeat this again and again and again? Because actually I can see seeds growing if we don't pluck those seeds out now. Because it does say in Revelations there will be all kinds of people and all kinds of psychics and all kinds of new ways to worship and all kinds of this and that. Go read Revelations. I don't like reading Revelations because I don't want to know the end of the world, but it is all in Revelations. It's like somebody just sat down, watched us right now, and wrote it as we are doing it. Now, I say we because I am one of those people that are striving to become the best Christ-like I possibly can, and I will continue to strive to be as Christ-like as I possibly can. People can talk about me all they want to and knock me down, slander me, ridicule me, steal my stuff, and act like if I get angry because somebody did something and take my voice and put it on the tape recorder or whatever so the whole family or the whole people can hear it because I finally got angry after I got pushed and try to make me out to something I'm not, that's fine. I do not care because I've lived in my truth and I know it. You know, that just backfire on those people and make them look stupid. I'm just using this as hypothetical because someone out there probably has that happening to them, and I don't know why I'm saying it, but it's probably something someone needs to hear. I'm building my foundation solid. I'm building it how I was instructed by God to build it, and I'm building it to where every word that I say is truthful, and there's nothing that can rock my boat because it is so truthful that I do not tell a lie. I do not tell a lie. I tell the blunt and bold-faced truth, period, end of sentence, because if I tell a lie, then I have to tell another lie, then I have to tell another lie, which gets another lie. And before I know it, I don't even know what I said. I have never done that. I just watch people and know I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. I don't, and I never will. It was instilled in me to tell the truth, and I will always tell the truth. Sometimes to a fault back to a person to where it hurts them because it's their bold-faced truth. I'm just ready to get serious. I've always been serious with you guys. I've always told it like it was with you guys, you people that are listening on BBS Radio. But think of it as terms of endearment, and think of it as an endearment of don't mock me, ridicule me, or call me any other kind of bullcrap names just to get yourself looking like you're Mr. Hunky Dory anymore, because I've got a reputation on this internet, and the real life people here in this world that are now hearing this that I told you to tune in, this is real. Can't knock me down anymore. And you know who you are, and I'm not going to go any further with that, because it just doesn't matter. The fear of that person is no longer having to be towards the other person. You don't have to listen anymore because it's not going to happen to you. I took it all. It's just like the scapegoat. Let's say I'm in a scapegoat. Well, a scapegoat is where back in the day before Jesus came, they would take a goat and they would sacrifice one goat, and then they would take a goat of another, and they would place all the people, all their sins onto that goat, and then they would let it go with a red ribbon around its neck. Well, then when Jesus came, he took all the sins of the people, and he died for their sins, and his blood was like that red scarlet blood was like, for his blood he sacrificed for us. And to me, I believe that Jesus died for my sins so that I could be set free. But a person cannot keep going around and repeating the same mistake, saying, well, Jesus will just forgive me for my sins, knowing full well that that's a sin. and continuously keep doing that same sin and just think that you can say, oh, forgive me for that sin. You know, the road and gates of the heavens are narrow, period. And I'm not trying to be a preacher today because I believe in Buddha, Gandhi. I believe in all the good ways of every prophet that's out there because they all had something to teach us. I'm just telling you, I'm a Christian and this is the way. But I also was raised in a Wiccan family, and I know a lot of that until I was 13. And it was good stuff. It wasn't the heebie-jeebie kind. It was, you know, draw your circle, draw your line, step inside, and, you know, that's your sacred space, and, you know, stuff like that. And it was different, but it was utilizing it together, bringing it into Christ's atmosphere, and respecting the animals outside, and respecting nature, and respecting the north, south, east, and west, and what it represents, and how the winds come together, and it all combines together properly and in balance and in sync if you use it well, and you apply it to your knowledge, which is the home of wisdom, and what we walk, and walk our talk, speak our truth, the medicine wheel, the Native Americans, walk the talk, speak the truth, act the truth, know the truth, do the truth, be the truth, learn the truth, earth wisdom, and it just keeps revolving around those spokes. Got to be who you are, not who someone else is, taking on another person's identity in order to fulfill your life. That's an empty vessel. You act out angry, and you will become angry towards that person that has given it to you or you've taken it from, because it will become a fear, because it will become a threat, because it will become that you will be found out that you have become a fake. Does that make sense? That's putting it in layman terms, very simply put. No one causes you to have to do anything for anyone, because sometimes you do it to get attention. You do it to get attention so that you can say, look at me, look what I've done for you. So then you can say, all that I've done for you, you're going to do this for me. So there's a price on it. So therefore, do you want it, or do you want to just say, I can do it for myself? Why do people have to put a price on things when they want to give an act of kindness, when someone can't do it or don't have the money for it? Can't we start helping one another out of acts of love? Just loving one another. Helping a person across the street, or, you know, stopping and picking up the trash, and, you know, things like that. It brings me back to angels here on earth. You think there's angels here on earth? I do. You think that people really want to hurt people? I think people are so scared of themselves they want to become other people. I think people are so scared that they're not going to be known, and they want a popularity contest, that they want to take other people's stuff. Well, if I was out, me for instance, for a popularity contest, and I'd be screaming my ass off, and I'd be putting my books out there, and I'd be putting this and that out there, and I'd be saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. Well, you know what? I don't do that. But it comes a time when I don't even have any clothes left in my house, and I don't have any things left in my home, and I don't have anything hardly left on that internet and out there that has my name on it, that I'm almost bare naked to the bone, and I'm going to say something. And if it doesn't stop, I'm going to start naming names, because it's had enough. Because I know who you are, and you know I know who you are. Let's put a stop to it, and let's start giving some high respect to me, because I am one of the best teachers you've ever come upon, because I give it out from my heart, my spirit, my mind, my soul. And I'm honored to do it, but thievery only gets you into the black hole at the end of your life. God's your inner journey. We create our own selves. The path is small and narrow. It's a challenge for transformation. It's self-determined evolution with a perspective on our own paths. The light's very divine. We have our own free will. The choice in expanding and closing our minds behind the veil of nature, in searching our life's meaning, the trinity and the perception of the path of here and now. How is that for just feeling? Isn't that better? Isn't it? Sounds better to me, because humility is made of people and the sacredness of our lives. The personal philosophy of each individual, by just actively listening to your inner self in meditation so you can hear God, just like he took me to, what did he say? When I opened the Bible, he said, then the words of the Lord come to me saying, and he kept showing me that all over in Ezekiel. Then what did he say in Revelations? Let them hear, let them with an ear hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Churches, congregation. Well, I'm out here telling you, as if you are a church sitting there, well, let's just say you're in an auditorium sitting there by yourself or with the person that's listening with you on this radio station, going to hear what you need to hear. Take the cotton out of your mouth, out of your ears, and place it in your mouth, and just listen. Just listen. Be you. Color your world with your crayons. I'm telling you, be as childlike as you can. Be as humbled as you can, and be as honorable to yourself as you can, and own what you know. It's your lessons. And if you learn it from someone else, give their name some credibility. Because that way you'll get back more of that in return. And you will not feel so threatened to be able to get anger, to be able to lash out, to cause an escape goat, to cause yourself to be a personality disorder, and all that stuff that'll come behind it. And with that given, I've got to get off the air because the wonderful lady is coming on next. That, I mean, our shows are almost identical, almost word for word. But with that, listen up for Judith Conrad. She comes on at 10 o'clock. And I love you guys, and I hope that you got a lot out of this show. And with that said, I'm off the air. 10-4, good buddy.